You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Wood.
And I'm Jennifer Connor.
From Equestrian Businesswomen, and you're listening to Equestrian B2B, the podcast that brings together industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and equestrians for conversations about how they build and sustain a successful business.
On today's show, we talk to Amy Robb about her many ventures in business as a manager, partner, and master networker.
Amy Robb is a mother and businesswoman. She has served in the House of Representatives in New Hampshire, started a nonprofit, ran a retail business for 13 years before she sold it, a co-working space, and worked in the small pet industry as a distributor for many companies. Amy has been an independent distributor manager at Beamer for the last 6 years. Last year, she joined the startup Ultimate Repair V as a managing partner. Recently, Amy also joined Charlie's Fly Spray as an affiliate. Hey, Equestrian B2B podcast listeners, ready to level up your biz?
Ride Every Stride specializes in tailoring brand identities for equestrian businesses. From logo development, essential stable accessories, and custom product branding to exclusive awards, VIP event must-haves, and chic apparel, they've got you covered.
Visit RideEveryStride.com. Use code B2B15, that's B2B15, at checkout for an exclusive 15% discount.
Elevate your brand with Ride Every Stride, supporting women in business and equestrian excellence. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Great to be here.
We are really excited to have you. Our paths have crossed a couple of times now, and we've both found you to be full of knowledge and very inspiring. And so we thought you'd be a great guest on the podcast to kind of contribute to Equestrian Businesswomen. We're going to go ahead and jump right in. And I would love for you to kind of tell us where your passion for the equine industry started.
That's a great question. I would say about 6 years ago. A little backstory. I was 7 years ago, working in the small pet industry as a distributor for six different companies. And I was looking for a medical device to add to my toolbox for sales. And my brother is a distributor with Beamer. It stands for Bioelectromagnetic Energy Regulation. And Beamer has a horse blanket and cuffs and neck applicator. And at the time, he told me, Beamer, not only does with the horse unit, but with the human unit, they're coming out with a small pet line. And I was like, great. So I flew out to San Diego, where headquarters, that's where they were located at the time. I met with the top doc out there, and I became a distributor right away, bought the human unit. And I just want to say that my stepmother was a believer of Beamer, had bought a Beamer, a human unit, well before they came to the United States. And then my brother, of course, was in the business, and they needed more representation in the Northeast. So I jumped in with 2 feet. Now, saying that, I started working with the human unit. And I'll be really honest, it really wasn't floating my boat because I was still waiting for the small pet line to come out, because my passion, as you mentioned it, or my wheelhouse was really working with the animals. Now, they didn't come out with the pet line, and they still haven't come out with the small pet line. So 2 years into working with Beamer, I said, you know, I have a background with horses. I grew up riding them in Massachusetts and gave it up in college. And I said, I really am going to focus on the horse unit. And I turned around and I kind of just let go of the human unit and I focused on the horse unit. And guess what happened? I started to become very successful with Beamer. And it's kind of like the universe was telling me, you got to follow your passion. You got to follow what fits for you. And then I just took off. And we can talk a little bit more about the other companies I'm working with that are in the equine industry, but that's really when it started. And I will also preface that something happened along the way with working with horses in my mid-50s or early 50s, should I say. There was a spiritual element that was happening with me with the horses. When I was younger, I just don't think I was in touch with myself that way with the horse. But with my aging and my growth and my life experience, I started to feel and notice a shift in my own self. And the horse was actually guiding me on my spiritual journey for growth.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I know you said you rode before and then you've come back to it through this. Do you have advice for people who might not want to be a trainer or a groom or a rider, and they want to stay connected to the horse industry through working something like this?
Absolutely. My advice is do not listen to the naysayers, the people that say if you do not own a horse or you do not ride, if you don't ride a horse, you will not know enough about the industry to contribute to it, both for the trainers, the owners, and most importantly, the animal itself. Absolutely. I would talk to anybody and mentor anybody in that way.
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes the best folks out there, honestly, are the ones that are not riding or training. They have the time to dedicate to the owners and the horse in that manner. As long as you understand horsemanship and take the time to learn about the horse in various ways and feel comfortable with the product or the services that you're providing, you'll be a rock star.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because I recently met a couple of vets who are equine specific, but they went into vet school not being horse people at all and just falling in love with the horses through it. And then that led them into like internal medicine in the horses. There's a really good internal medicine vet that I met. And I was just surprised because I feel like so many times people are like, oh no, you have to be so involved in the industry to be in the industry or understand it. And this woman had
to be a lifelong horse person.
Yeah. And, right. And she, like, even in the vet space was not, went in for small animal, fell in love with the horse side of it. And now she's an internal medicine specialist. So I think that's really cool.
That is.
Cause we don't hear stories about that often.
Right. It's always, you know, I've been riding since I was 4 years old and
yep.
Or, you know, I haven't stopped since. And I don't think that's a majority of people's experiences that are connected to horses. You know, a lot of people have to leave horses for one reason or another, you know, school or family or finances, and they come back to it when they can, or they keep it in their lives somehow, but maybe it isn't regularly riding or being around horses. So, I mean, that's how my life has been too. I mean, I'm at a horse show every month, but I haven't ridden. I've barely ridden in 9 years for various reasons. And, you know, I would say I'm still fairly educated about the industry.
Right.
And Amy, I think you brought up a good point too, is, you know, as long as you're still working on things connected to the industry and you're still keeping yourself informed and staying educated, that's a big part of it. Because I think, you know, some people may try and question your expertise or something like that. But have you been in that situation where you've been able to say, look, this is, you know, I've been doing all of this background work?
Well, that's a great question. And I'll preface that I do clinics, and I'll speak about one maybe later on that I would highly recommend to make myself better informed with the horse and with the owner. But I would say that the toughest critics I have might be the fellow distributors in Beamer that are horse people. And I think that really comes with that I'm one of the top sellers in the country for Beamer. And when they'll pick at you, like, well, how is she doing it? You know, she doesn't ride a horse. She doesn't own a horse. But I have the knowledge and I have the capability to interact with people. And I'm passionate about what I'm doing. And that all comes across. And so the people that I think that I have seen, and it's only been a few guys that are really just within my own company. Let me put it that way. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, when I meet somebody, and we're just talking about Beamer, we are not even talking about the other products that I work with, and one in particular, I'm either going to be their jam or I'm not going to be their jam, you know, my style. But I think it comes across pretty quickly to my clients or my prospects that I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to kind of stay relevant, you said you talked about a clinic, or, you know, what are some other ways that you stay on top of what's happening in the horse industry? Because, yeah, I mean, you're in sales, but it's, you know, connected to medical and veterinary side of things. So I imagine that's, you know, a part of the industry that you always have to be keeping up with, because things change rapidly in that side of it.
Right. Well, I would say one thing that I've done was be proactive and take a clinic out at Bitterroot Ranch. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bitterroot Ranch out in Wyoming. But I took one called Horse Speak. And these two ladies here that are located in Vermont, New Hampshire, Sharon Wilsey and Laura Wilsey, have come up with a wonderful program of learning how to communicate with the horse. And it really is coming from the perspective of we need to understand their language. So this was a clinic where we're going in and we're really observing the horses and learning how to speak their language instead of expecting the horse to understand what we're asking from them, because we're confusing them with our body language and what we're asking from them. So I think that is just one thing that I've done to understand horses better. And I did it specifically so that my approach to the horse when I'm touching and working with the horse with this therapeutic blanket and cup, that I'm going to better present to the horse. And I've also noticed when I'm working with clients, their behavior with the horse. And sometimes I see behavior that I would say is less than appealing. That might be hitting the horse in the face, for example. And so if I can be in a position when I'm demonstrating this technology, that if I see some behavior that I don't like, maybe I can gently come in and say X, Y, and Z, you know, for instance, mm-hmm. if you touch this part of the horse's face, this is considered a button on their face. And that's when you're hitting them. That's, they think you're trying to play with them and they're going to keep coming back at you. And not understanding different areas on the body when you're touching it or you're poking it or you're hitting it, it's confusing for them. And if I can be a representation for the horse, or an advocate for the horse in a polite way, I want to do that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're able to kind of help people in that way, as well as with the equipment that you have or the products that you're selling. And I would say, I would think that also being in the barn as much as you are with your products, right? And at horse shows, you're probably able to see what's going on in the industry and kind of keep your finger on the heartbeat of what's going on.
I do see it there, but a great way that I see it, I think even better, is going to conferences. And mm-hmm. where I really got a chance to meet you, Jen, was at AAEP this past year. Yep. I think going to expos, those two things, expos and then conferences. That's when you start meeting other people in your industry and seeing other, whether it's technologies or products or services that you might hone in on, want to learn more about. And for folks that are looking to find another profession or another job or add on to what they're doing, this is where I would go to talk to folks and start learning from there. That is how I met my partner in my other company, where I'm the managing partner of Ultimate Repair V, which is a all-natural cream for inflammation and pain and tissue repair. It's new to the market. It's phenomenal. I can't wait to talk about it. You can hear my passion and excitement. but I met Mr. Tim Cable, who is a farrier down in Wellington, top notch. He He works with, Olympic riders, top-notch FEI riders. I met him at an expo. And then from there, it led into developing this company with a couple of partners in Wellington that I'm referring to, the cream business. And then he had already started a all-natural bug spray company for what he does as a farrier. And, I'm an affiliate with that company. So I'm adding to my toolbox, and I'm very specific that I want to work with non-invasive, all-natural therapies or services. So that's my niche. But so to reiterate what I'm saying, to be relevant, to stay on top of it, go to conferences like the AAEP or go to expos and, focus on finding new products or services or therapies.
Yeah, I think that the expo route depends on what products you're having, right? So as far as my regular job, sometimes those are a little bit hard for me to go to like a horse owner expo because I'm very vet focused in what I have to offer. I have some products now that we're getting that do stay in the client space. So, I may be at a few more of those, but for sure for equestrian businesswomen, the expo in Ocala was great for us to make connections for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important too. Especially when like you have all these different products that you're aligned with. I think sometimes that could make it easier for people to transition over into jobs like mine, where I work for an actual pharmaceutical company, because it's giving you experience with products and, working with clients. So I always try and, like you said, tell people who are trying to make a change in their careers or what have you. I'm like, go around to those expos and talk to the people at these different booths, because I've been approached many times by people who have said, oh, hey, this product doesn't compete with anything that you have at your real job. Would you represent me? And a lot of times I have to say no, because I just have too much on my plate with equestrian businesswomen and my regular job and riding horses and what have you. But I do think that people should keep that in mind. And I love that message of, go around, look around, see what's out there and find out what like you're passionate about and you align with the different products.
Yeah, that is really key to what we talk about all the time, is how important the networking is and, finding, contacts through that and seeing what else is out there is really important, no matter what kind of job you have or there's just so many people out there that you never know what they can do for you and or what you can do for them.
I like what you said, what you could do for them, because if you go into it with that frame of mind, boy, that makes a big difference. Just reading a book recently called Take and Give, or Givers and Takers in Business. And then there's those people in the middle. They're the quid pro quo, right, people. And you're never one or the other in business. You might be floating across each one. I know that I'm probably more of a quid pro quo kind of person. If I give you something, I'm kind of hoping something comes back. I'm being really honest with myself. But there are times that I do go in giving and going in with the, what can I do to serve you and help you? I'm telling you, 8 out of 10 times that comes back and rewards you versus coming in and just taking from people. So I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really great point.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point as an approach to sales too. Is what can I, like, looking at it as what I can help you with, what I'm giving to you, it's not what I'm getting out of it. Right. In those relationships. For sure.
And I think that talk goes to what you've talked about before, Jen, and like your sales style, in that you're not very aggressive and insistent. You just want to provide people information. If they take you up on it, great. If not, yeah, They've learned something and may be able to come back to you at another time.
Exactly.
Talking about women, because I work across the board, that's my style. I go in and I want to educate. I want to help. I want to educate. Mm-hmm. I want to be of service, right? Let's go back to the women and the mentality around women, or how they, you come in from that approach. It is very, very different, than being, mm-hmm, quote, aggressive. People don't like that. They get enough of that.
Yeah.
So, Amy, with the different things that you have your hand in and that you work with, can you talk a bit about what your day-to-day looks like and how you keep all of those different parts organized?
Yeah, it's probably the hardest part of my job, in training. Sometimes I train a team. It usually starts out that I'm opening up my laptop and I'm looking at my emails and I'm either responding to my own team that I'm training or respond as a managing partner to Ultimate Repair V, seeing what sales have come in and just basically the morning is looking at emails or mm-hmm. setting up appointments or pretty much that. I would just say just basically that.
Yeah. Housekeeping.
Yeah, housekeeping. That's a great way of looking at it. I do, at least in the past, I'm trying to slow down a little bit this summer and this year, but I do a lot of shows. So getting ready for that, traveling. I travel a lot on the East Coast. So preparing for that, that's another big part of it, just prepping that. And then again, with my current customers, following up, when you're working with a cleared class 2 medical device, there are going to be a lot of questions and guiding them through the usage of that. And then with the startup company with Ultimate Repair V, we're working on all parts of it. The Facebook page, managing that. I don't manage that. I'm not a techie person. At least I'm aware of what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, but we have somebody on the team doing that. So making sure that we're advancing that as a new company and how that's changing and shifting, and also looking over text that we're putting in the website. I mean, that's ongoing and it's changing quite a bit, getting testimonials for the product that mm-hmm. people are using. And basically running around connecting the dots for folks in that particular company between our, IT guys and then the two guys out in the field.
Yeah. And I think most of our guests that we've talked to before are pretty settled into one job or one business that they started, and that's what their focus is on completely. And, whether it's been they reinvest everything that they made back into their company, or they've gotten financial partners investing, or they've taken out business loans, that sort of thing. Has it been difficult for you to kind of figure out how much you can take on in order to like pay your bills and make sure that, you're getting everything done financially when it's not coming just from one place?
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, yes. Always the beginning is the hardest. All right. And that's where you really need to have a strong mentor or strong support system within your own family or your peers or whatnot. And a great place for you to be there. This, what you're doing here, is being a mentor, supporting other women in the industry that you can do this and stick with it. Let's see how we can find those resources for you to stay with it. It's gotten a little easier financially as I've grown. But saying that, even in this last year, I burned myself out. You hear that a lot in the industry, that burnout. So you have to know the balance. For me, it's the hardest thing. The balance between work and pleasure, home, and just taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And if there are people out there that are listening that are thinking this might be a road that they want to go down, where they don't just work for one company and they go into a lot, like you, building a bunch of companies that you work for, brands that you have underneath you, what kind of advice can you give to them? And what are the disadvantages and advantages of doing it this way?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say, start slow, believe it or not. Don't bite off too much. So I started with one brand. And I educated myself really well with that, and I just focused on that. For some folks, they'll have another job. I don't know if you're talking about somebody who wants to go in full time, but let's imagine it's somebody who wants to go in full time. I would take one on, feel really comfortable with that, It took me 5 years, right? And then the opportunities presented itself that other products or services came my way just by building the network and building the network, period, the network. And yeah. Your reputation within the industry. So start with one, get a good mentor, whether that mentor is within that company that you're either repping with or providing that service for, get a really good mentor. And then you can build from there and scale from there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the advantages are to building a career like this, where it's not just hitched to like one specific company?
Well, you want to diversify. That, first of all, I think that's really important. There was a time, for instance, there was a time that we had a sale last year with Beamer and we blew it out and we ran out of horse Beamers that I couldn't sell. And I was like, oh my God, that's like 80% of my income. And I mean, sure, I can sell human sets and I do plenty of riders. So there, I work outside of that. I have gym owners. I have lots of people using the human Beamer and we use it every day, my husband and I, but my passion is with the horses. And that is where I focused most of my time with. So now all of a sudden I can't produce the product as fast as I want. Right. So then I said to myself, okay, this is telling me something. And not only that, there was a period several years ago that as we were getting our class 2 clearance with the FDA with the Beamer, we couldn't sell the human Beamer for like 6 to 8 months. Wow. And that was another push that's really when I also jumped into 100% jumped in with the horses. And then all of a sudden, as I told you, things really shifted for me financially with the company. But that just told me, okay, I gotta diversify. So that's the word. And I think that it's good to diversify because, at least in my examples that I can share with you, the cream that I'm working with really has a nice 1-2 punch for the horse and the human, and it's the same cream. So if you're using a Beamer and you're using this particular product, Ultimate Repair V, the benefits are twofold, maybe 10 times. That works for it. And if people cannot, it happened just this weekend. You know, somebody was like, I would love to own a $5,500 piece of equipment for, you know, my horse, or more importantly, me, but I can't afford it. And I said, well, here's something that's going to help with that pain and inflammation. And guess what? It's also repairing tissue. There's nothing like this on the market. And they can buy a bottle for $110. Mm-hmm. Very different, but they can get started there. So yeah. Give them choices in the same, it's not the same thing, you know,
right.
Increasing general blood flow in the small blood vessels with my cream, but it's certainly going to, I can say, and it's got the backing that it's going to reduce inflammation and pain and help with tissue repair.
And they're complementary.
Very.
Yeah.
Very. Well,
I have to say, I even look at like my connection with DECRA and Equestrian Business Women and most of everything else that I do. I have my insurance license to do equine insurance on the side. Like I feel like they're all very synergistic, right? Like they all are in the same, they complement each other. You know, we mentioned DECRA on here. People might go and look up my products. I bring things to Equestrian Business Women to stuff bags that are some DECRA stuff. It all works together. And I feel like a lot of times I'm living my life within the equine industry and everything is complementing each other as I go along.
Yeah.
Right. I really feel that when you can get all those kind of things in line, much like you, Amy, they all kind of help each other out in one way and you're able to provide more to a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you talk about diversifying, you know, that's why you do it when you're investing, you diversify because you're not putting all of your eggs into one basket, right? You're not relying on just one thing to work and be successful. And like you said, you know, if there are things out of your control, like the supply chain, that you can't do anything about. So you know, if life throws you that curveball, then what are you going to do? You're going to find something else that can help you in the short term. And then maybe they become something that comes together and you can work both at the same time. I think that's important too. So many people maybe want to just focus on one thing, but it can be hard when it's not you producing your own product and you don't have any control over it.
I agree with you 100%. And then the other piece in that, as I was listening to you, is that I didn't mention is the growth piece. So I'm one of these people that want to keep growing and learning and educating myself. So when you hit a plateau with a product service in or, you know, service product, what's next? You know, what's going to be next for you that you can complement or push yourself to grow more? And the other piece of that was, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something that I'm going to be educating myself in and moving forward in, but is I suffered burnout last year because I traveled so much. And now I'm thinking, what can I do that's going to be closer to home that I can provide a service for somebody? Or in the case of the cream, you know, we're going online with it so we can sell it online. It's a lot easier to sell online than a product that I need to demo and go to shows and get it on, right? Or do sessions with, right? So I'm thinking. So one thing that has fascinated me is working with magnets, biomagnetism. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a way to treat Lyme disease, for one thing, and other diseases and pathogens, and eradicate pathogens and Lyme. And I'm familiar with this because it was the therapy that saved. Now, I'm not going to be dramatic here, but it really did save my daughter's life. She was very, very ill with Lyme. Years ago, she couldn't eat because every time she ate, she just would blow up and literally like hives or her lips. She just couldn't eat. Wow. So we were going everywhere to try to find solutions. And she was diagnosed with SIBO we were seeing people in Germany. We were seeing people here at the Lehi Clinic where she was getting steroid shots. Nothing was helping her. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, we go to a woman right here in my own town who works with the magnets. And after two sessions of placing magnets on her body to kill the pathogens within inside her body, she could start eating again. And so then I started doing some more work and look around this. And we can do this for horses, and it's already out there. So with horses I'm not trying to replace a vet. I'm going to make that's a disclaimer. I'm never going to try to replace a vet or a veterinarian, but we have veterinarians working with magnets. Okay. Just for this, and I can share more about that. So what I'm planning to do is start my coursework this September, because that's going to be another non-invasive therapy that's upping my game. And I'm really taking it to a different level. And that's exciting, right? So it's the growth factor too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning something new to keep your mind interested and connected to something. You know, so I think sometimes when you, like you said, you're burnt out from traveling and you've done something for a long time and you feel like there's nothing new about it, and it gets maybe not boring, but it just gets repetitive. And finding something like that really gets you interested and gets you learning about new things is a great way to, improve your life, not only your job life, but your personal life too. If it keeps you fulfilled.
And hopefully the industry, right?
Yeah.
I can provide some value to other people in the industry because we need more people working with these magnets on the horses. Right.
And I also feel like this goes back to like opportunities, right? So this is like opening up more doors and more opportunities for you and to make more networking connections out of something like this. Mm. Do you think that there's a certain kind of temperament or personality that somebody would have to kind of do this mix of businesses that you're working for?
That's a great question.
I'm just thinking about myself, for instance, right? Like I like the idea of it really is appealing to me. It seems exciting to do all these different things. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, what, like, I would depend so much on myself for my paycheck that it, you know, makes me nervous to think about that.
Yeah. Well, I think absolutely. I think, you know, in my position, I'm an extrovert. Okay. And I get energy from being out there. So that, I think that's a big plus. I'm a triple Aries. So, you know, that's a lot of fire. I'm an athlete. So I'm driven, goal oriented. I mean, I think these are really in the plus column. It doesn't mean you have to have them. But boy, if you like to be behind a computer, or you're an introvert, or you like to, it's going to be really hard if you don't have really good energy. And I mean, high energy. If you have to be able to connect to people. And I always like talking about how I'm dyslexic, and, you know, I go beyond my manual, the boring, sorry, Beamer, they have a boring manual, and I make, you know, a manual with pictures, and I make charts, and, cause that's the way I learn. And I can laugh at myself, and gosh, every time I tell people I'm a dyslexic, they go, I am too. And they just kind of bond with you, and you develop interpersonal skills. So yes, you have to be somebody who likes to find out about other people and be connecting with people, because they're the ones that are going to be buying the products for the horse. And then we get to the horse. And honestly, having a passion for the horse, you know, passion for the horse.
It's really funny because I am the same way. I love going to expos and meetings and doing CE dinners and talking to people. And a lot of times I'm buzzing. I've taken on so much energy during those that I'm buzzing afterwards. And I know Jen is not the same.
I am not a typical Aries.
Jen, talk to me more. What kind are you?
I think the only Aries part of the temperament I got was my lack of patience, and I've worked on it a lot in business and with family and things like that. So, yeah, it's hard. It's so hard. But I remember after our California event, and like 3 days later, Jen and I were talking on the phone. Jen's like, I'm so excited, just buzzing about it. It was such a great time. And I was like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Not to say I don't enjoy it when I'm there. I do love it. And I think we have as much fun as the other one does, but it's the aftermath that is different.
If there's anything that sucks energy out of me, it's actually traveling. I've come to realize like the traveling part of it. Because
that
I'm like,
doesn't bother me at all.
Right. And I'm like an organizer, and I have to plan for the travel. And I, even when I'm driving somewhere now, I find that when I come home for like 2 days afterwards, after I've been out working, it's not seeing the people. It's like, I drove, or I had to get on a plane, and like, I feel drained.
That's so funny. Maybe it's just because I get hours of alone time when I travel. But that's what
you're like, you're zen.
And I like put my headphones on and I read my book on the plane. Like, I don't want people talking to me. That's how I get my energy.
Rejuvenate. Yeah. That's that's a part of you for sure. I get it. I'm like you, Jen. I like crash, and I've spent all that energy, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I'm buzzing sometimes. I'm like, oh, like my brain won't stop. And I'm like, oh, I met this person and this person and this person. And then like when I'm done with the travel, I'm like, oh, wow. I'm swiped. So.
So I think, you know, a lot of what we've talked about is kind of the personality or some of the skills you need for sales. And we talked about different types of salespeople, you know, the people who are a little hard hitting, and then others like yourselves who want to educate. And is there a way that you think that makes it less overwhelming to people who feel like they have to be always out there pushing for sales? And how does it work to not feel like that's what you have to do 24/7?
Well, I can speak from experience, because that crash and burn is because when you're driving too hard and you're not giving yourself a break. And the sales cycle is, it's up and down, and you have to, and I struggle with this, guys. And it's the performance in me. I don't know. It's just, I'm a Marine for a father and driven, and it's really hard when you're not performing at top levels every month, because I look at my years month to month. And, you know, again, this goes back to getting a good mentor and having a good support system in sales, is having that voice. And it's my husband for me, who's completely different from me, who reminds me, Amy, you know, it's cyclical. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. You have to take a break, and you can't push the way you are. And you just learn from trial and error. I know that I'm not everybody's jam. We talk about styles. I'm a bit of a Labrador. I get excited. I get the passion. I am not that quote unquote sophisticated person who's going to come in and cool, you know, that smooth operator. You're going to like me or you're not. And I know how to tone it down. I know how to read a room. I know how to read a person, so I can go to different degrees. And, but that sales cycle, it's just being patient, and it's good organizational skills. It's good planning strategically. Mm-hmm. Good to be able, we got to talk about the finances. Again, we can talk about, because we are women here and this is for women. Women are afraid of money. Women don't know how to plan strategically sometimes around this. I just say not everybody, but I'm pointing to myself, guys. I'm talking about myself here. So if it resonates with you, talk to me, because there's ways around that. I didn't want to talk about money. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to, you know, but you have to. So you can plan accordingly when you have a slow month. Save or for those slow months, and understand that sometimes, you know, with a high-end product, it's going to take, guess what, 3 years to sell that. Literally, right. That happened. Or, you know, you're positioning yourself for, you know, shows or expos, or where you're doing your sessions, or meaning with the Beamer, that you're going to score, you know?
Yeah. Those are all so important, and maybe also, yeah, I think they also apply to entrepreneurship. I mean, being an independent salesperson is a form of entrepreneurship. You don't own the business, but you know, you're responsible for what you do. And I think that is important factors. We've talked about the financial side of things and with some guests before, and how important it is to stay on top of it. And that planning and organization, I'm sure, is a big thing. And have you learned how to, you know, you say you look at sales month to month, but have you also learned to kind of look big picture and see, okay, this is where I've grown from 2-3 years ago to now, and be able to pat yourself on the back a little bit too, despite, even if you had like a bad month recently?
Yeah, that's what my husband's good for. And this is, you know I keep saying mentor, but it's my blind spot, and we all have blind spots. Okay. Whether we just do, and find somebody, whether it's your partner, somebody in your companies, just a good, a girlfriend. You'll know who they are. And if you don't, you know, call me up. I'll be a mentor for you. Literally, I will, to help you with those blind spots. And so, yes, I can pat myself on the back. I can, but it's just not part of my nature. It's hard. That is a hard thing to, you know, okay, I achieved that, you know, I got to keep going. Oh, wait, step back and take a breath and say, okay, And that's what I could say about that.
Yeah.
Do you have a response to people who say they're not salespeople? Because I've had conversations recently with a couple of young ladies who are maybe looking to make career changes. And I always encourage them to look into doing something in sales. So what would you say to them?
You know, I have a team. So I have about 100 distributors underneath me at Beamer. And a lot of times when I'm meeting some of these people for the first time and they haven't become a distributor yet, right? They say, I can't sell. You know, I'm not a salesperson. And I'm like, you don't have to be. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to be, you know? Mm-hmm. If you know the product or the service, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in this podcast, is that if you want to serve somebody or educate somebody and you're genuine, you believe in the product, that's all you need. And then the other pieces will come together and I'll help you with that, because that's my job as a team manager, is that I'm going to help you. Here are the financing options, or this is how you're going to do this on social media. Or if I can't answer the question, because many times I can't, watch this webinar, call this number. I know where to get the answer. So honestly, you know, I like those folks. I want to meet those women or those men. You know, I want them though. I'm not a good salesperson. You don't have to be. I don't want you to be that. Just be you. Be genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I tell them. And I always tell them that it's so much depends on like your network. We've talked about this in the earlier about networking. And that is something that I think you do really, really well. A little backstory on this was, I hosted an event in Florida that was a meetup, and that you came to that meetup and you brought your product, and you were almost the only one out of the entire group of ladies that came that networked appropriately. You didn't stand around talking about the weather, your kids, and everything else except business. And I just was so impressed by that. I wanted to know if you can give us some of your tips, the keys to doing that, and how you learned to do that so well.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to say, you know, full disclosure, networking is my most favorite thing. Okay. So there's something about connecting people together and making something happens that I just thrive on. So I'm going to just, full disclosure, I love it. Some people won't, but you can learn to network. And I was a member of business, BNI, Networking International, BNI.
Yep. I've also been part of that.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yep.
And that was a fabulous experience. When I first was starting out with Beamer, that was really key for me, to be in a room, being able to learn how to stand up and be able to give a 60-second spiel, or learn how to do a product presentation in front of a small group of people that, you know, you can learn to fail, you know, and you know, failing just stands for, you know, first attempt in learning, F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. I learned that one just recently, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
But you're in a safe place and they're going to hold you up. And you're going to network because people are coming in and going. So you just baby step it and learn. So networking comes really natural to me, again, because, you know, the classroom wasn't so easy for me. And so I had to develop those skills with people. And yeah, it's a big piece of the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like what you were able to do in that room with ladies is connect with them and talk about it, but also present your product, where it wasn't like you were there as a salesperson pushing it on anybody. Like you were able to integrate it in a normal conversation. And mm-hmm. I found that so interesting, that because I think we've talked so many times about women not wanting to network properly. Like they get together in a group and then it's talking about things. So I just want to say that I really... Yes. And I feel like you were the example of me, like, going forward, being able to like put that into the conversation without it being like, that's, you know, that you wanted something out of it. You actually genuinely wanted to help people.
So yeah. The key there is, people like to talk about themselves. So you want to ask people questions. And I generally want to know what motivates people. I do. So that comes up across. But when they start talking about what they're doing, at some point, they're going to feel like this gal is listening to me. You know, you're developing that rapport. And then they're going to ask, well, what do you do? You know, you can ask, sometimes I ask a very funny question. What do you do for fun? Don't start out with what do you do for work? You know, where have you vacationed recently? You know, start out. It's so much rebuilding that rapport when you're networking. And once you get that guard down or they feel that you're not pushing something on them, eventually that relationship can develop within 5, 10, 15 minutes. Then they're going to ask, what do you, you know, they're going to be curious about you. And then you naturally just talk about it. You're not shoving it down their throat. You're just saying, this is what I do, and this is why I like to do it. Well, why are you down here in Florida all the way up from, you know, you live in Vermont, and you're down here. Well, yeah, this is horse mecca. It's nice to be down here. This is great. This is great, you know? Except
that was one of the things that our guest, Julie Garella, she's been a podcast guest, and then she was on the panel at our California event, and she talked a lot about networking and how important it is, and that if you are going to what is called a networking event, you should be going prepared to talk about yourself and your business and to explain and to make connections and, you know, use that as an opportunity and as a potential way to increase your business or do something positive for your business, because that's the entire point of it, right? It's not just a cocktail hour, you know, where you want to make friends. She was like, you shouldn't want to go and make friends. You want to make business contacts, and that's why you're there. Friends, if it happens, great. That's a bonus. But I think she really surprised and informed a lot of people with that take, because, you know, she used her old boss as an example, who was a man who said, you know, he would invite people with him to play at this exclusive golf course. And he wasn't doing it because he wanted to have a friend play golf with it. He was doing it as a way to get their business.
Close the deal.
So I think that's important to keep in mind too, is why are you going somewhere? Or why are you going to an expo? Why are you going to AAEP or, you know, setting out goals for networking as well, you know, if so that you're using your time the right way and you're getting something out of it. You know, if you're coming to one of the Equestrian Business Women meetups that's just like at a bar with cocktails, then, you know, maybe you just want to make more friends in the industry. But, you know, if you're going to a specific business event or an expo where you're trying to find people or distributors or whatever it is, then, you know, use it as that opportunity to improve yourself and your business.
And I would say too, that I think we don't do enough asking, right? So I like your approach, Amy, about, you know, getting to know people, asking a funny question, kind of breaking down some barriers. I think it's good to have a little like tool bag of those kind of questions, icebreakers to ask people when you're going into it. I think that's important. But I also think that it's okay for you to say to maybe somebody, hey, how can I help you grow your business? Is it a like? Is it, you know, like what are you looking for out of this event as well? How can I provide that to you? Or even saying to somebody, hey, can I ask you a favor? Can you just go to my page and follow me at this point? I think those are all legitimate things that you can do when you're networking.
For sure. That's that at the first summit. Remember, one woman was like, nobody follows my Facebook page or my Instagram.
Yeah.
And there were like 200 people in the room. And they're like, okay, here's 200 more followers for you.
Yes. These are all learned behaviors. You know, you learn how to do that BNI. You're asking, and you want to, the first thing you go in is, how can I help, or what can I do to, again, help you advance whatever, X, Y, and Z. It's a learned behavior. And this woman, as you just said, probably had a hard time asking.
Yes.
And this is
where it's embarrassed, you know?
Yeah. It's okay to shine. It's okay to ask. It's okay to be successful. This is where this platform, what you're doing, is so great. I mean, I want to meet all the women on your platform. How can I help you? How, you know, where can I connect you to whom? You know, what are you looking for? I can do it. You know, we all have Rolodexes. Oh, we don't have that anymore. We all have a phone.
Exactly.
Rolodexes. Sorry, guys. I'm almost 60 years old. I can't believe it. But we can do it for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about it, is all the connections. And listen, I started taking pretty much every person who wants to link with me on LinkedIn. I say yes, because I've had a couple of really great conversations with different people. We've gotten a couple of guests out of it. We've also, you know, I've had private conversations with, asking for my advice, and it's nice to be able to give back to people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just got that from you, because I've been really bad on my LinkedIn. I will admit that.
I'm not great either.
Wow. It's hard, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. No excuses, but let's go back to the balance, guys. We're going back to that balance. You know, what am I looking at? You know, but LinkedIn's awesome. It's so cool.
Yeah. I'm shocked at the number of horse people and horse businesses that are on LinkedIn. And also, I mean, I have this thing. I really want to go to the UAE. I really want to go to Dubai. And so anytime there's somebody from the UAE that's like linking with me, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Like, do you want to have a call? Like, what do you need me for? Can we do equestrian business women there? Should I fly over for something? Trying to figure out a way to go.
But that's great. You've just planted the seed, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, is this going to be the one that's going to ask me to come and do some kind of speaking event there? Like, I don't know. So, no, I'm really, networking is like a really cool thing that I enjoy. Yeah. So,
same. Well, it's been so much fun talking with you, Amy. And we've learned a lot. And I think, you know, people can get a lot out of this episode of, you know, how you've done your business and, you know, the advice that you've given us. So we really appreciate it. And at the end of each episode, we do the same four questions, and Connor starts with the first.
What is one action that women can take to make a big difference in their lives?
Take care of themselves.
Yeah.
100%. We are caretakers. We tend to take care of husbands, kids, family. And I speak from experience. You've got to take care of yourself, your own health, your own well-being. You've got to find the time, you know? Mm-hmm.
And what is the best habit that keeps you motivated personally?
Pilates, believe it or not, Pilates. That goes back to the first question.
Yeah.
I burned myself out. I was in a lot of pain this year traveling. It gets harder as one gets older, at least for me. Came back home, got back into my Pilates routine. I spend the money and I'm working on the machines, and I get it twice a week and get my core straight and see the smile. You can see it. The podcast can't see it. I'm feeling great again. I'm not in physical pain.
Yeah.
So when I'm not in pain, I can get up in the morning and I've got a whole different attitude. It keeps me motivated. It keeps me going. And I'm representing my work better because I'm doing exactly what I should be doing, because I'm advocating health and wellness.
Yeah.
So Pilates is huge to me.
That's awesome.
What's your favorite horse movie?
That's a tough one. Okay. So everybody
dumps so many people.
Biscuit, you know, listen. So here's the thing, guys. I haven't watched a movie in a long time, but I do remember The Horse Whisperer. So I did like that, but I take it one step further. So Buck is the original horse. I don't know if you watched the documentary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That appeals to me. That's the real deal. So really following, and that goes back to horses and sensitivity. And Buck, and there's some similarities with me, grew up in a really challenging home, and developing that sensitivity and understanding pain or abuse or whatever, right? That much more connected to the horse. So that one really comes home to me.
Oh, cool.
And who would you recommend to be a future guest on this podcast?
All right. We have like 3 minutes, right? Okay. I have a list here. All right. First of all, Dr. Mary Kahn up in K-A-H-A-N. She is working with, she's a veterinarian and she's working with the magnets. I think it would be interesting for people to start to learn about biomagnetism for the equine world. Just saying, you know, now it's one. I definitely love Sharon and Laura Wilsey, and look up Horse Speak. They have a really cool vibe and what they're doing. They travel in Europe and they're getting more and more known here in the United States about what their horse womanship training is like and what they do. And then I have another one, Jeannie Clark. She's similar to me in that she's also distributes different products. The Arrow helmets and some saddles, iconic saddles. And she's also a trainer. She has a really interesting take, I think, and is a really cool person and has a cool vibe. That she could offer your listeners a lot as well. So those are just three. I can keep going, but
yeah, that's great. We love suggestions.
For sure. Well, thanks again, Amy. It was a pleasure talking with you and hope that we'll see you again soon at events or at least just keeping up conversations.
I would love that. I would love to do more for you guys with this platform, as you know. So just as we talked about earlier, let me know how I can serve you, because this excites me, what you are doing in the field. And I'm being very sincere about that. I'm not asking for anything back, but what I can do to help advance women in the industry so that we all do better by the horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Tired of searching multiple websites for equestrian products and services? Wish you could browse horses for sale and order supplements in one convenient place? Equivant was created by Horse Girls, who are dedicated to making it easy for fellow equestrians to find what they need for them and their horses.
Equivant partners with small equestrian businesses to advertise products, services, and horses for sale on one convenient marketplace. Shop on Equivant.com to find horses for sale, grooming products, supplements, riding apparel, trainers and vets in your area, and much more. They really do have everything you need for you and your horse.
Amy is awesome. I really enjoy talking to her. Every time I sit down with her, I really can't stop having a conversation because there's so many different topics that she knows so much on. Wants to help people. And I love that. I really know that she wants to help us with equestrian businesswomen and push us forward. We have this great connection that we both were in that Business Networking International that taught us so much about networking. And she had just so many great points today. And I really like the topic because I think at this point, there's a lot of people who don't want the 9-to-5 grind and want to figure out a way to build a life that they're passionate about and that they can keep themselves interested in. And if anybody was, you know, questioning that, I think this is a good episode to listen to say, hey, it can be done and you can be successful at it and it can be financially sustainable.
For sure. And I think there's a lot of people out there who do that. We just don't always know about them. Or, you know, you may see people at the shows and not really understand what their job is. So
right.
It's good to talk with somebody more in depth about, you know, how did you get into it? How do you keep it going? You know, how is it financially stable for you? That sort of thing is good to hear, and to see people be successful at it, I think is what gives others, the thought that they could do it too.
And I think it was key that she talked about the support, finding somebody to support you through it.
Yep.
Whether that's family members or friends or mentors, I think that's an important key is having support behind you.
For sure.
to do something like this, because like I said, it appeals to me in certain ways. And then certain ways I'm like, oh my gosh, I need my paycheck every 2 weeks. I like having, yeah, like the health insurance is taken care of, and you know, all the things that come along with working for a corporation. I like those things, but it also appeals to me the like adventure of learning about different products and representing the different companies and being, while they all kind of, you know, work together in the same circle, being very open to change.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, having that kind of job and makes you very adaptable. And like she said, you know, always looking for maybe what's next or what you could add or change, and having the ability to kind of do that and still keep everything else going is important.
Yeah. And I think one of the most impressive things, and she did it throughout the podcast, was weave in the products and brands that she represents and give you information on it without being like a pushy salesperson, giving enough information to possibly pique somebody's interest that they're going to go and look up her companies. And she did that, like I said, in the podcast about I met her at the networking event. Well, she came to the little meetup that I had in Florida, and how well she did that. And I think that that's a great example for people to follow of getting it across what you do or who you're affiliated with without saying, now go buy those products.
Right. And that's, you know, further to what we talked about, you know, why do you go to a networking event? You go to increase your business contacts or to, you know, whatever it is for your work. That was her goal for this, right? I mean, yes, she wanted to have a good conversation, but, you know, use it as an opportunity to talk about what she does and how she can help people. And she put out there like probably at least 3 times that she's willing to mentor people. And that is really big. And we've had people say that before on the podcast, like, just reach out to me if you have questions or you need anything. And I think she could be that person and that contact if anybody wants to, you know, send her an email.
And
ask what you need for.
Yeah. And I love that about this, because I've had conversations with people talk about how they have reached out and heard back from a lot of our guests. And that makes me feel so good that we're doing what we're intending to do, that through these different events and then through this podcast, we're reaching people and they're able to use it as a resource like it's intended to be.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's great. It's really fun, and it was informative. And I hope that we can connect with her and do some more stuff with her in the future. And I also hope that our guests can connect with her and it helps them. And, you know, I like that she's a lot like me, where she's buzzing after her networking events and stuff. But the travel is a little bit of a killer. And, it's so funny when you said that when you like to travel, you like it quiet. And I have to say, like, I actually do too. And most of the time I put my headphones on. I wear a hoodie and I just want to like sleep on a plane or just not want. Well, a couple of weeks ago I was flying to Pittsburgh and I totally forgot my earphones. And I was like, oh no. And I ended up having the most lovely chat with this woman about networking, and like, she wasn't in the horse industry, but she was so fascinated. And I was pitching, well, I wasn't really pitching to her, but she was asking me like interesting questions. Like, do you think what you do for a job is what you're going to do till you retire? She was a commodities broker.
Oh,
Yeah, which was really interesting. And so we had this great conversation. I was like, oh, maybe I should do this more often. But most of the time when I fly, I'm like, leave me alone. I'm in like gym clothes.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in gym clothes and here she is like going into the office. We had like a very early morning flight and here she is in like beautiful suit and she's so well put together. She's a lovely woman. And I was like, I'm in gym clothes. But she asked me about a business. I was telling her about the other business that I'm in the process of working on. And she was like, this is such a great idea. And I was like, and you probably don't think I'm a legit business person at all. As I'm like, look like I'm homeless. So, hey, you never know what's going to come out of things, right?
You never know. Although, you know, you don't always go getting on a plane, you know, with the goal of networking for business. So
I never do.
You're allowed to put your headphones on there.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. We're going to wrap up and you can find the links to today's guests and the show notes at www.eqbusinesswomen.com. Equestrian B2B is out twice a month on the 1st and the 15th.
You can find out more at eqbusinesswomen.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Find Equestrian B2B wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review. You can have all 20 plus shows of the Horse Radio Network with you wherever you go with their free app for iPhone and Android. Go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network.
Now go ask people how you can help them.